In the most name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to everybody, to all the saints from England, United States, from Sweden, Finland, from all the other countries around, blessed greetings to you all in Jesus' name. It's been a long time that I have been here, and I deem it as a great privilege and honor to be back in this room to proclaim the end time word of the Lord Jesus Christ and to glorify and to magnify his name. Amen. Well, saints, before we just get into the word, I have something to share. Well, with the prayers of the saints around the world, and especially saints from the England and Finland around, the Lord has been very gracious and merciful in his mercy and in his grace. He has blessed the annual conventions that had taken place in India, and he used beloved Pastor Kim from the United Kingdom, the Full Gospel Assembly, and the Lord used him for the first 2 days of convention. And later the enemy tried to work, but at the end of the day, we need to realize one truth is that God's children will never be put to shame, and God has been so merciful that he was used in sisters conference, pastors conference, and youth conference, and it was a great blessing. And Pastor Kim also literally had an interact when he was here in India with some of the leper brothers and sisters. Praise God. And saints, once again, I thank you all for your prayers, for your support for the ministry here in India, and we are very much thankful to you all. Well, let's look into the word. And the Lord, the word that the Lord has put in my heart for tonight is from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 12. And here I read it for you. Glory Jesus. Conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas we speak against you as evildoers, that they may by good works we shall behold and glorify God in the day of his visitation. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of grace. Father, it's the only place, Jesus, that we have complete peace. It's the only place that we have complete joy. That's the only place we can rest. As we come before you, Lord, for your word with an acceptance of heart, I pray for every brother and every sister that is there in the room right now. Lord, if I speak, nobody can listen. If I speak, nobody can receive. If I speak, nobody can give their heart to you, Lord. Father, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and take control. Give us your word that we may live. Give us your word that we may survive. Give us your word in such a way that we will be able to face these last days and be prepared to be with you in the rapture, Lord. Because as we see things that are completely near, as we see and hear things, Father, that your kingdom is very short, it's at hand. Open your word unto our hearts and our minds, Father, that we will be able to be spiritually receptive and be very sensitive to your call. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation be acceptable to your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Here we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 12. Having your conversation honest among Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that maybe your good works they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. So submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whatever it may be. The King is supreme. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As I was going through the word, I was just waiting before the Lord because I just came back from a meeting. And I was preaching the cross today there, and God has been faithful. There's a remnant. Amen. Praise God. And I just written back to the meeting. When Pastor Kim has asked me, would you do this Tuesday, Danny? So I said, I'll just pray about it. And as he asked me later on, I said, yes, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I went to a meeting, and I'm just back from a meeting, and was just praying before the Lord, and the Lord showed me this word. The Holy Spirit led me to this. Amen. Hallelujah. As we read this word, it clearly certifies, it clearly gives us a good picture. Being freed from the Lord, being freed in the Lord Jesus Christ. After accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, after being baptized in Jesus' name, and after being baptized by the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, the Bible gives us a complete clear picture how a freed Christian should live. How a freed Christian should live. There are so many out here in the world today misusing their freedom, what the Lord has given them. Jesus Christ has set us free, and we are free because of His blood. We are free because of His mercy. We are free. It is only by His grace. It is not because of our good works. It is not because of our intellect. It is not because of what we have done. But it is purely because of His mercy that He has set us free. And every Christian and every brother and every saint in the Lord that is free is capable of doing great things in Him. He is capable of doing wonderful things for Him. Hallelujah. So saints, brothers and sisters, as we are in His presence, if you and I call ourselves to be a brother and a sister that is being freed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that means whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven, because you have received the reconciliation power, the power that you have lost in the Garden of Eden. When man sinned, he lost his complete power, what God has given. God has given authority. The Lord has given authority. The Lord has given power unto Adam. And this first Adam fell into sin. By his sin, we all are called sinners. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, today we have come back with reconciliation, the authority we have lost, the health that we have lost, the wealth that we have lost, to be thankful unto Him for giving us back the authority. And He has set us free in what we are. He has set us free from our bondages and everything that we are in. And in this freedom, He has given us a complete authority that, you know, a freed Christian can do anything for Him. Anything for Him. Today, so many people just simply say, oh, Brother Danny, could you ever preach a strong doctrine or a meat of the word to a newborn baby? Do you think it is right? Well, I come with a question here, and this question is this: when a baby is born, does anybody teach the baby to sin? When a baby is born, does anybody teach the baby to sin? It automatically learns. It automatically learns. So, but to come into the Lord Jesus Christ and to live a true freed Christian life, you still call yourself to be a milk drinking baby. I'm not able to take this strong word. I'm not able to listen to what this man says. I can't receive what he says because this word is not for me. That shows your spiritual immaturity. My dear brothers and sisters, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we will be able to receive strong doctrine. We will be able to receive the strong word. We will be able to receive the meat of the word, and we will be able to digest it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And we will see its fruit in our lives. So as we are set free in our lives, this is what he says: having your conversation honest among Gentiles, whereas thou speak as evildoers. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Look at this. He gives a clear situation, speaks out. He tells, out in the world, The Gentiles that are looking, the so-called Christians, that means those that are proclaiming themselves to be free, those that are proclaiming that they are baptized in Jesus' name, those that are proclaiming that, you know, we are free through the blood of Jesus Christ, are being called evildoers by the Gentiles. That is the reason. If you are called free, live a life which would show the world that you are surely free. Hallelujah. Who is able to obtain the freedom by looking into your life? Where is your testimony? Where is your life that you live in such a way that somebody else could look into your life and say, hey man, this man is really free. He is set free. I can see a real transfiguration in the life of this brother. I can see a real transfiguration in the life of this sister because she is set free. Amen. Hallelujah. And today it is because they call us evildoers, and that's what the word says. They may, by your good works, which shall behold, glorify God in the day of his visitation. Hallelujah. So today, are you truly set free in the Lord? You call yourself to be a child of God. Are you truly set free? Being set free means not being called evildoers. So he really portrays something here. He tells, even though they call themselves and the professing Christians, still they have something dwelling evil in them. Hallelujah. That's what he says. So let us look into the word and let us consider the word and let us begin to look into the word and see what they mean by talking evil about us. The Gentiles against you as evildoers, whereas the Gentiles speak against you as evildoers. Why does the Gentiles or the people that do not know the Lord speak of you and me worse after being baptized by the in the name of Jesus? The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But here the word says being living in Christ as free birds, but the Gentiles are standing against you and calling you an evildoer. What is the reason? What is the evil that the word is trying to portray? What is the evil that the word is trying to bring out so that he will be receptive to the word of God and completely be set free? Amen. So let's look to that. Glory Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's look. 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verses 19. 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verses 19. And he smote the men of Bethshemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,010 men. And the people lamented before the Lord, had smitten many people with great slaughter. Hallelujah. Here we read a story. Here we read a situation. People are looking into the ark of the Lord. And why is the Lord have to slaughter them? Why has the Lord has to slaughter them? Why does the Lord need to kill them, those that are looking into his ark? What is the reason? They are not doing anything wrong. Is it wrong to look into the ark of the Lord? Is it wrong to look into his presence? Is it wrong to talk to him? Is it wrong to dwell in him? Well, yes. When we look back into the old covenant, well, my dear brothers and sisters, when I speak about old covenant, again, I bring back, we are no longer under law, but we are under grace. But we are just looking to it as an example. We are just taking the examples out of it. So we are under grace. Amen. Because the law has not brought repentance. The law has not set anybody free. What the law could not do is what Jesus did. Amen. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, here we see in the old covenant, I want to give you an example of the tabernacle. When you look into the tabernacle, normally there is a place called holy place and also a most holy place and the outer courts of the tabernacle. There are 12 tribes in the children of Israel, and the children of Israel, all these 12 tribes used to come into the tabernacle, the outer courts, and wash their feet. And also they tell their problems and all their needs to the priest that is there. Normally priests used to come from the Levites. So they tell to the priest, and the priest used to go into the holy place for the remission of their sins. That's what used to happen. So nobody could go into the holy place. Nobody could go into a place where the ark of the Lord is. If at all they go, because it's the most sovereign place, they literally die. So the first and the foremost, being set free by the blood of Jesus Christ today, being set free and professing Christian today, the word says the Gentiles are calling you evildoers, and they should not call you, because the Lord should visit you. Hallelujah. You should do good works in such a way that the Lord will remember in his visitation. That's what the word says. Number one, the first and the foremost reason, or the evil that needs to be repressed. The word repressed means to be forced down,
virus,
or to be put down.
Has been updated.
To put down by force. Usually the total control, before the total control is lost. The word repressed, this is what we're going to make. The seven evils that needed, the seven evils which needs to be repressed. The first and the foremost thing is idle curiosity. Not ideal, sorry, it's idle curiosity. What is idle curiosity? There are today in the world so much curious about things. My dear brother and sister, what you and I have to be curious about is about worshiping and praising and blessing the name of the Lord. But this ideal curiosity had taken away the lives of so many people in Beth Shemesh. Ideal curiosity. Well, if I just fold my fingers and hold it tightly, and if I go into the church, stand on the pulpit, stand like that and begin to preach, all of you would look at me and look at my hand and say, they would literally not listen to the word, but they would look into my fist, because my fist is closed. Because they want to see what is there in my fist, because my fist is closed. It obviously indicates that there is something there in my fist. More than listening to the word, people will be very much interested in looking at what is in my hand. And they'll be very curious to see it. What if somebody comes to me and asks me, Brother Danny, I'm not able to control. I've been seeing your hand as you enter the church and come back to the pulpit. I've seen your hand completely closed, and I just want you to open your hand because I'm very much curious to see what is there in it. And the moment you say, oh, you want to see what is there, the moment I say, okay, fine, you want to see it, and I open my hand and there is nothing. And I open my hand and there is nothing. What would be the feeling of that person? Because he thought there would be something in it, but there is nothing in it. All is vanity. Everything in this world is today vain. So people are very much curious today, being set free also, very much curious about the technology, very much curious about new things, very much curious about people who do things. Well, it's good. There are so many people who do stunts, different kinds of things, different kinds of actions. Recently, I've seen on television, I've seen a man touching his forehead with his tongue. I was thinking, oh, what is this man? What is he doing? You know, there might be things that might surprise you. There might be things that might take you away. There might be things that you are very much curious about. I tell you, my friend, I tell you, my sister, I tell you, my brother today, and I tell myself too, that you and I today have to completely be surprised only to see things what God has done. Because in this world, anything that sounds to be surprising you is vain. Even if you're curious to see things, that will not profit you anything. Hallelujah. Because it's all useless, because the Lord knows everything and the Lord has seen everything. That's what we call, nothing shall take God by surprise. Hallelujah. Nothing should surprise you. Nothing should make you curious about, oh, what are you curious about? Well, I tell you one little story before as we enter in. Well, there's a snake tamer that catches snakes, and he came to a village nearby, and he just caught a big cobra. And India is very much famous for king cobras, and he caught a very big cobra. And this man has not taken away the venom out of that cobra. And he was taking that cobra in a small box, and he was taking this cobra and just moving around. And what happened suddenly was this. On his way back home, he wants to take out the venom. Normally here in India, there's a tradition. People worship the snakes, the cobra, especially. So as he took the cobra back, on the way he met a man and asked him, "What are you taking in that box?" And he said, "I'm taking a cobra." Then he asked, "Oh, can I see that cobra?" And he said, "No, it's venomous. If this cobra comes out, it will literally bite you. So if I take out the venom, maybe I can leave it down. It won't do anything to you because there will not be any problem, because after the venom is being removed, the cobra can just move here and there and nothing will happen to you." That's what he said. And this man said, "No, I want to see it. I want to see how it dances, because I want to worship it, because cobra is my God." That's what he said. Well, okay, fine, you want to see this cobra. Well, this man said, "But it'll be bad, it's not good." So literally what happened was this. That man said, "I will give you about 4 quid. Can you show me the cobra? I want to see it. I'm very much anxious to see it." So this man opened the box and the cobra came out, the snake came out, and it was a very big snake. It's a very venomous snake. It literally stood on its tail and directly hit on that man's forehead as soon as it came out, and that man died. You won't believe it. This is a true story. This is what an ideal curiosity will really do to a person. An ideal curiosity, a vain curiosity, will really take away a life of a person. So there are so many things that we are very, very much curious about. Or so many youngsters are curious about drugs. In the beginning, the drugs are very nice, very quite flowing, quite like floating in the air. But what would happen? The end will be very horrible. It will take away his life. Nothing in this world would ever please you. Nothing in this world would ever make you glad. Even after calling yourself as a professing Christian, even after calling yourself as a child of God, are you still curious about the world and the things in the world? Are you curious about what God does not like? Are you curious about things which is really not acceptable to the sight of the Lord? So we need to come into a place that needs to be repressed today. That evil in curiosity in us needs to be repressed. We need to ask the Spirit of God to take control, that we will not be curious about anything, but the curious about His Word, curious about prayer, curious about worshiping Him, only curious and crazy about Jesus and Jesus alone. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, I want to give another example. We all know about this sister. Well, I don't like to call her a sister, but Lot's wife. She would have been called sister if you would have obeyed the word of God. When God called Abraham and said, "Abraham, I give you a land. Go to that place, this place called Ur. Select the land that you want and stay there, Abraham." And Abraham said, "Lord, I have a brother. Let him select first." So Abraham gave his priority to Lot. And to the eyes of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah sounded to be very greenish and very wonderful. So Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah and went into Sodom and Gomorrah. One fine day, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah came before the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. When God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was waiting before the Lord and telling, "Lord, if there are at least 100 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you save them?" The Lord didn't speak anything. "Lord, if there are at least 75 people that are good in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you save them?" It went on and on and on and on. And the Lord said, "I know, Abraham, for whom you are very much worried about. I know it's for Lot." "Okay, fine, Abraham. As you are asking this, I will save Lot and his family, his wife and his children." That's what God said. That's what Lord Jesus said. Well, as the word was being proclaimed, as the word was being released, that night, the Lord spoke, and Lot and his wife and his children have to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah from the burning and from destruction. And you know what? They were coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot's wife's heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you all hear me? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, idle curiosity. Amen. So, when God called Abraham, okay, and said, "Lord, if there are at least 50 people, there are at least 25 people, would you save them?" Then Lord understood what Abraham was trying to say. "Abraham, I'm going to save Lot and his family. You don't worry, Abraham." That's what the Lord said. So as to God's word, God saved this family. While that night, where they have to come out from Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family and his wife, Lot's wife turned back. She was very much curious to see what was happening to Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, what was coming on Sodom and Gomorrah was the wrath of God. And she was very much curious to see the wrath of God. Wrath of God is not something what you would like to see, you know. When she turned back, she turned into the pillar of salt. Very sad. When she turned back, she became a pillar of salt. It is because of her idle curiosity. A vain curiosity. It's not going to profit anything, but it's going to take away your life. This is what has happened to those 50,000 people in Bethshemesh. They died because of their curiosity, which is of no use, which is idle. So as children of God, you and I have to be curious on heavenly things. You and I have to be building our hopes, and we have to be curious about what God is doing. Today, people are not curious about wonderful things that God has done, miracles that God is doing, but they are very much curious about what people do, what technology brings out, what this happens, what that happens. Well, as children of God, only thing that should surprise us, only thing that should make us curious is the Spirit, and about the Spirit, and to grow deeper and deeper each day into the fullness of God Himself. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. Well, the second evil that needs to be repressed as a professing freed Christian is this. Why are these people calling you evildoers? Is because number one, you have ideal curiosity. Number two, the second evil, let's read the word. Psalm 39 and verse 1. The book of Psalm 39 and verses 1. This is what the word says. Psalm 39 and verses 1. I said, sin not with my tongue, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Hallelujah. Number two, the second evil that needs to be crushed down, forced down before it takes over our lives as professing Christians, as set free Christians, is sin of the tongue. This has become one of the vast and one of the fast growing evil in professing Christians in the today's body. Sin of the tongue. What can this sin, what can this tongue do? Tongue can rotate every side. Tongue can tilt itself to any dimension, to any direction. It is the most softest thing, that boneless thing that God has given to man. So this tongue is able to tilt itself in any way. With this one tongue can destroy families. This one tongue can destroy things. You come here, you go and tell that brother, hey man, what is this? Your wife is not a good woman, but your husband is not a good man. What would happen? This husband and wife will begin to fight. It is because that one word can even completely destroy. In the walk of our faith, we need to see that our tongue is under control. Our tongue is under control. So it is better to shut up and sit in a place calmly than to utter a word in situations where the Lord really does not want us to do so. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, this tongue is another biggest problem in the world today, and most of the professing Christians are completely becoming spiritually destroyed in their spiritual lives. It is because of this one tongue. The Bible speaks about the scriptures speaks about so many things, what this tongue can do. How can this one tongue can completely destroy? A small fire can lit the whole forest. Same way, this one word from this tongue can create a great problem and create a great cause. There are people that speak things which are truly detestable to His sight. There are people that utter words and speak with their mouth, tilting words in such a way that it will hurt and wound so many people and break relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, sometimes a word directly comes in such a place that, you know, it pricks and it breaks everything, and it explores and explains things that are there in our lives. That is where we need to say, Lord, thank you, Father. If my tongue is in this place, Lord, please have mercy on me, that I will be very meek. I will only speak where I have to speak. I will only do what you want me to do. I will only allow the word to come out of my mouth only when it's your will and not my intellect and my thought, O Father. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we look into the word, there are so many examples. By just speaking and moving this tongue, so many incidents in the word have brought into great destruction and great destroyment. Hallelujah. Today the Lord wants us to understand. Today we are calling ourselves to be prophesying Christians, but the Gentiles are calling us evildoers. Why is it? What is the reason? It is because our tongue is not in a right place. Our tongue is not in a right place and not being how the Lord wants it to be. Hallelujah. With the same tongue you bless people, with the same tongue you use slang and words which are detestable to the sight of God. With the same tongue you say hallelujah, with the same tongue you say this person is against, this person is not a right person. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, I need every one of us today in this walk of faith, we need to understand the evil that is still trying to work even after accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and calling ourselves free. This one tongue passes messages from here to there, here to there, here to there, here to there, from people's minds. That is how Satan tries to attack the minds of the saints. Many minds are being attacked by this one tongue. And that does not only destroy relationships with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that destroys fellowship. That destroys, you know, they don't wait before the Lord, but it completely breaks. So today the Lord is trying to tell us that we need to repress this second evil, which is called the sin of the tongue. Number three. Let's look. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. The third evil that needs to be repressed or forced down or taken away. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust and doth corrupt, where thieves break open and steal. Hallelujah. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust and doth corrupt, and where thieves come and break open and steal. Hallelujah. So saints of God, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. What does the Lord meant by it? A rich young man comes to the Lord and Lord Jesus Christ and tells, oh, I have followed every command. Good master, I have followed every command what Moses' law says. I did everything according to your will and according to your promise. But Jesus said, you still lack one thing. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Hallelujah. Oh, that does not mean just sell everything that you have and just give it away. But what he meant was, he had something which is beyond that he should not have. Because this man, my dear brothers and sisters, the third evil is avarice or greed. Greed. He was just saving up treasures for him on earth. Hallelujah. Well, be thankful unto the Lord, for he has given you clothes to wear and food to eat and a home to stay. Because out in the world there are people who do not really have that. Do not really, even seen what a house really is. But God has been so gracious to us. So that is the reason, as saints of God in our spiritual lives and professing Christians, we need to understand, though we follow the Ten Commandments, though we follow the Bible entirely very correct and perfect, we still lack something. That's what the Lord says. So remove every kind of greed. Lay not up everything for you on earth, because everything on earth, what would happen? It is going to be rust, and moths will come and eat it, completely destroy it, and thieves will come and break open it. One man, one brother in Christ out here in India, he was a very, 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 very rich man, a prophesying Christian. And what happened was, his son, all that he had was one son, and his son grew up. And what happened was, after his son grew up, and this man gave all his property to his son, and what his son did was this, He drank. He used all the property. He drank for drugs, for everything. And today he's on the streets, don't have anything. Very sad to see. What happened? That man saved property after property, property after property, property after property, so much on earth. But everything is just stolen. Everything is gone away. Everything is gone away. Nothing is left. Now he is on the streets. What is the reason? Store not, lay not up for yourselves the treasures upon earth, where moth, rust, and dirt will corrupt, where thieves will break open and steal. So, saint of God, dear professing Christian, brother and sister, the evil that is taking over today is building up treasures on earth. Where is your treasure in heaven? Do you have something that you know where the Lord will say, hey, my dear brother Danny, this is your place in heaven because you have saved so many souls. You have stood for me, and through you, I have saved so many souls. I have used you as a vessel to bring many into my limelight. And you have proclaimed the right word in the right time that I have seen the harvest. Will the Lord be able to say that? Or will say, hey, Danny, oh, you have earth. And that is truly wrong, which is what you have done. As a servant of God, you have two times judgment because you stood on the pulpit to proclaim. Look at that. How will my face be? Will I be able to face the Lord? Will I be able to say amen? No, I will not be able to say that because I'm in a place where I have no word to respond. I'm in a place where I don't have any word to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, thank you, because my time is over. My time is over. All the days I did was storing and storing and storing and storing and just thinking about living a cozy life on earth. But I have not realized what life I would get in heaven. So my dear brothers and sisters, the third evil is greed. So the Lord wants us to completely come out of that greed. Number four. Let's look at the fourth evil that needs to be repressed as a freed Christian. Mark chapter 10 verse 44. Mark chapter 10 verses 44. This is what the word says. And whoever of you will be chiefest shall be the servant of all. Whoever of you, hallelujah. Whoever wants to be great needs to be the servant of all. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. The fourth evil that needs to be repressed is unholy ambition. Unholy ambition. Today we all of us have so many ambitions in life. If you call a student or a young sister or a young brother and ask him, what is your ambition in life? They would say, I want to become a doctor. I want to become an engineer. I want to become so and so in life. Well, it is true today saints also have so many ambitions. These ambitions are nothing but goals. What is your goal today in the presence of God? Is your goal holy and acceptable to the sight of the Lord? Is your goal, is what the goal, what God wants you to have? Or is your goal something that is just come out in order to gain something? Well, when God chose Saul of the Old Testament as the first king of Israel, God had brought this man completely from a down stage. Well, when God called Saul, this is what Saul responded. God, well, Samuel, I'm unworthy to become a king of Israel because my tribe is the smallest among all the tribes in Israel, because I belong to the tribe of Benjamin. And in that tribe, my household is the smallest household. And in my household, and I am the smallest, and I'm unworthy to be a king. This is what he said. When you look into this humility and the words that came out of that man's mouth, or literally sounded, this person is really humble. Yes, he was truly a humble man. But what happened? What happened? Well, God chose because he was humble. God chose Saul because he was humble. And also, God saw that there was no handsome man like Saul among children of Israel. So God chose him because he was the right person to be a king in that time. In that moment, he took this man and put him on the throne. What happened? The same man that said he's unworthy began to rule on his own against the will of God. Began to do things which are against the will of God. Look at what happened. Everything went on contrary. Everything went on wrong. What was wrong? What went wrong? What has happened there? Well, this is what has happened. When a pig, God has taken a pig and put it on the throne, what happened? Pig said, I still need the dirt. The pig said, I still need this thing. What happened? His ambitions, his motives completely changed. His aim completely changed. Well, he came as a humble man, but now he's not completely having that same ambitious life where he was a humble man. Now he's not becoming the servant of all, but he's trying to loot people. He's trying to do against God of Israel. Oh, he made Lord angry. That's what the Bible says. He tried to do a sacrifice which a prophet, which a priest has to do, or which a prophet has to do. He did it on his own, which made God angry. Before he calmed God's anger, he made God more angry. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, the evil that needs to be repressed in the presence of God is this: unholy ambition. I want to become the president of the United States of America. Why do I want to become a president of the United States of America? Well, Lord, I'm just joking, but I'm just telling an example. I want to become a president of the United States of America. Why do I need to become a president of America? Because America is called one of the superpowers in the world, is it? But I tell you, God's judgment is on America. Amen. God's judgment is on America. And after I become something, you know, I have an ambition. Why do you want to become a president of America? I say, you know, I want to serve the people. I want to help the people. I want to build houses for those who do not have houses. I want to help those people that are downtrodden, completely down and literally not able to live and make their lives. That is what is the ambition that he comes with. And after he comes with an ambition, America goes back upside down. It becomes a nation that is completely against the will of God. It becomes a nation completely filled with the wrath of God. Why? Why is this happening? My dear brother and sister, evil or unholy ambition. As a child of God and a professing Christian, as a Christian that is set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, what is your ambition? Where is your ambition going? Is your ambition, is your goal the cross? Or is your goal to look back to Sodom and Gomorrah? Which is your ambition today? My dear brother and sister, these are the things that are working after prophesying yourself and myself as Christians. What are your motives? What is your motive in doing things? What is your motive in praying? What is your motive in waiting before the Lord? What is your motive? If the Lord has to do something, the Lord always tests. What is your ambition? Glory to God. We need a godly ambition today. Lord, I want the spotless bride to be prepared for the coming King. I want to be with you in the rapture. That's my ambition. My target is in the heavenlies. I want to come back. I want to be in the feast of 7 years. I want to be rule and reign with my Lord for 1,000 years. I want to rule and reign with my Lord. That's my ambition. That's what I need to understand. That's what I need to focus on. Because ambition related to the world, goals and targets related to the world are going to take you into complete vanity, my friend. Where is your ambition today? What are you so much ambitious about? Hallelujah. So unholy ambitions which are not pleasing to the sight of the Lord. So let's look the fifth evil that needs to be repressed. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 5. Glory Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Casting down every imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. The fifth evil that needs to be repressed or forced down or taken away in his presence is evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Hallelujah. The There are so many thoughts that come into our minds which are really, really evil. What can be an evil thought in my life? Well, for example, the doctor is telling this patient is going to die in another 24 hours and all you can do is just take him back home and wait for the death and do your funeral and say goodbye to this patient. That's what the doctor says. My dear brother and sister, you come back home, what do you begin to think? You just look at the time and you just look at your watch and say, oh, that's it, this guy is over, he's finished, he's dead. That's what you think. Well, that is an evil thought, because the Bible does not say, Bible did not say your life can be concluded by doctor's decision. Bible does not say your life can be finished by a doctor's decision. But the word of God clearly says, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Well, as you are before the Lord, as you wait before His presence, God is the only one that gives final decision in your life. He is the only one to decide. It is not your thoughts. There are so many thoughts. A young brother came to me and said, brother, I want to pray, but every time I want to pray, there are different kinds of pictures that come into my mind. There are different pornographic pictures, the things that are evil to the sight of God come into my mind and disturb that I'm not able to pray before the Lord properly. I said, you are under bondage. You need to ask the Lord to break that open right now. Oh, you need to ask God to prejudice those strongholds right now in Jesus' name, so that you will be set free, that your thoughts and your mind will be completely the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Your mind will be turned into the mind of Christ right now. That's what I said. Be not conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of mind. Hallelujah. So, being a believer today, being a professing Christian, what kind of thoughts are you getting? What are you able to think? When you look at a brother, what is the view that you have? Do you think evil about him, or do you think good about him? Do you expect that there were evil people around him, but he still loved them? He still wanted them. He still said, oh, he knew that Judas was going to betray him. Judas is the one that kissed him. Well, Judas was there. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. God is today teaching us. God is today taking us to a place where we understand His divine purpose and this divine understanding. Evil thoughts do come into our minds, attack. Oh, what is this evil thoughts? The thought about insecurity. You feel so much insecure about your finances. You feel insecure about your family. You feel insecure about your wife. You feel insecure about your children. You feel insecure about so many things which God's children should not really feel insecure about, because not even a single hair that falls from your head does fall without His knowledge. Glory to God. Because nothing can ever take God by surprise, that anything that happens to you in your life, because He knows. So don't ever work out on your thoughts something evil which will completely deviate your mind from the presence of God and where you will be deviated into this world. So today evil thoughts are doing that, because you are not able to sleep because of these thoughts coming into your mind and disturb your mind, because the spirits are working around you. But God is going to break that yoke. Hallelujah. Don't ever think. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, thinking that demons are working itself is great. Fearing around in your mind, thinking, I'm very much afraid because demons are working around me. That is the greatest demon. Fear of demon is the greatest demon in your life. Fear of demon is the greatest demon in your life. That is the only thing that will completely put you down and destroy. Because nothing is around you. Only thing is pray. Lord, I want to be overwhelmed by your presence. I want to be overwhelmed in such a way, Lord, I only have your mind. I need the mind of Christ. I need the mind of Christ. Keep confessing the blood of Jesus on your mind and say, Lord, I need your mind. Oh, Satan is a liar. He tries to tell all lies to my mind and make me feel I'm going to die. Make me feel that this is the end of life. Makes me feel that's it. But, my dear brother, the Gentiles are calling you today an evildoer because you don't think right. You have to be a source of encouragement to people around. You have to stand in a place where people that look at your face will think, oh, if this man is there with us, he's a Christian, he's a believer. If this kind of person is there, there will not be any problem, because hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, being a professing Christian, do you truly have the mind of Christ, or you have evil thoughts in your mind coming up? Glory to God. Well, sixthly, let's get back to the next point. Sixthly, Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. We are coming to the end. We have another point to deal with. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Hallelujah. The sixth evil that needs to be repressed in the presence of God today is evil desires and passions. Evil desires and evil passions. Hallelujah. What is an evil desire? Desiring something where you know it is not God's will. Desiring something where you know that this is not God's will for your life and you still desire it. Many people compromise the word of God. Many people compromise today. Oh, because of their desires, they compromise to any wind of doctrine. All that they want is their security. All that they want is to be safeguarded, because if they are willing to accept any kinds of doctrine which will completely suit their life of living. There are many churches today that preach a gospel of their own, which says all you need to do is come and sit in the presence of God and go back home. This is what it preaches. And these people love it, because these people love to always say Jesus loves you, Jesus embraces you, Jesus cleanses you, Jesus touches you, because they don't want to listen to something else. They don't want to listen if you commit adultery, God is going to burn you up. They don't want to listen if you do this, God is going to do this to you. So they call themselves to be prophets and Christians, but their desires are completely different. They want the situations to suit their desires. They want everything to be very much cozy, according and so sophisticated, according to their passions and according to their desires. If the pastor is working out according to their path, according to their desire, they say, amen, what a good pastor, praise be to God. That's what they say. And if the pastor is working out according to their passion, they say, oh, we have a wonderful pastor. Do you ever know about my pastor? That's what they would say. And if at all he comes to be, if at all he begins to preach solids, if at all he begins to preach that's in such a way that the word of God will completely expose what is in your heart, oh my good, he'll say, this man is trying to preach to me. This man is trying to put me down. This man is trying to put out something which is there in my heart. That's what we would say. So my dear brothers and sisters, the word says, oh, evil desires, what do you desire for today? What is your desire? May it be any desire, may it be physical, mental, may it be spiritual, anything, if you are desiring something evil. Well, there was a man coming to Paul, a sorcerer, to Paul, and telling, hey, from where have these people got authority to cast out demons? I have not seen anything like this before. Well, this sorcerer came and said, I will give you money. Will you give me the same power that you people are exercising? Will you give me? They casted out the demon that was there in that little girl. This man was coming and asking for the power that he will give money. So his desire is to make money out of God's power. This sorcerer's desire was to make money out of God's power. So he's asking, I will give you money if you give me that power. Well, God's power cannot be bought by money. Many people want, you know, if I touch somebody, they have to fall down. If I pray for somebody, they have to fall down. That's what is the new trend that has come into Christianity today. And you know what you say? Oh man, the suit, everybody in the chair falls down. What happens? They still remain with the same nature. They still remain with the same bondage. But all that you do is just rotate your suit and people fall down. What is it? Is it a black magic? Is it hypnotism? What is it? But there's a desire. You know what is the desire? The desire is to do something according to your standard, according to your will, according to your safeguard, according to your sophisticated and a cool point. See? So today God is telling, professing yourself Christian, but Gentiles are calling you an evildoer. Why are they calling you evildoer? Even after believing in Jesus Christ and being washed by the blood of the Lamb, you still have certain things that God is working with you and me today in our lives. And number one is idle curiosity, curious about things on this, in this evil speech, speaking things or just tilting the tongue, however, whichever direction you want. Number three is greed. Greed for more on earth and building and a selfish life. Number four is unholy ambition. An ambition that will completely, you're desiring in order to design your destiny for your own self. Number five is evil thoughts. Number six is evil desires and evil passions. Well, let's look number seven. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15. This is what the word says: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, amen. Number seven, an evil that needs to be repressed or taken away and forced down is worldliness. Worldliness does not have any relationship with godliness, because godliness and worldliness are two opposite dimensions, where because spirit and flesh. Flesh wants to do fleshly things, spirit wants to work spiritual things. So they can never stand together, they can never work together. If they are working together, I don't think so it's the right place. I don't think so it's from the Lord, but it's somewhere from around. Hallelujah. They will never work, and I don't think so it's the right spirit. Glory to God. So my dear brothers and sisters, worldliness. What is worldliness? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Hallelujah. Today we have so much of love for this world. We have so much of love. Oh, people become very much patriotic sometimes. Oh, my country is this. What has your country done for you? Has your country done something to you? But Jesus has given his life to you. Jesus has given his blood for you. People become very patriotic, very sentimental, very emotional to this world and the things in this world. But the Bible says, love not this world. Because the things in this world are going to destroy your life. The things in this world are going to completely ruin you. The things in this world are not allowing you to have a proper relationship with God. There's so much of love. Love not for one thing. For love for houses, cars, wealth, children. Love for technology, doings, love for so many things. And also the priority to those things. Oh brother, today I cannot come to the fellowship because I have some important guest coming to my house to visit me. Is this important guest more important than your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is this important guest more important than the spotless bride that God is preparing in these last days? A bride that is making herself ready? Is it important than your fellowship that you have to go to make yourself completely edified? Hallelujah. Think about it. The Lord wants us to come into this place where we need to be completely repressing evil. Glory to God. My dear brother and sister, are you completely free in the Lord? And you're calling yourself, you're free, but the Gentiles are calling you still as evildoers. What is the reason these Gentiles are calling evildoers? It is because even after professing Christian and living as a Christian brother and sister, you have idle curiosity. You and I speak evil with our tongue. You and I greed for the worldly things still. You and I have unholy ambitions. You and I have evil thoughts which come into our mind which are not the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have evil desires and evil passions. You and I have the worldliness. Let's pray. Let's look to the Lord. Let's ask for his mercy. Which part are you? Have you fallen in some or the other place in these seven evils? Today, ask for God's mercy and strength. Confess that before the Lord. Confess it, because the Lord will completely break its yoke. He will completely break, because his divine presence is the only thing that can give you rest. His divine presence is the only thing that can make you glad. Well, come into his presence. Seek his face. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.